3, and we're going to read verse number 10 down through verse number 13 to start with tonight. And a lot of good verses in the book of Galatians. I've read different commentaries and what different men have had to say about the book of Galatians, and seems like that the book of Galatians has been used in different times in history to stir God's people for revival. I was reading something about Martin Luther and the Protestant Reformation, and Martin Luther, no matter what you think about him, the Lord did do a great work of grace in a Catholic priest's life, and the book of Galatians was key to that, and there's been some others since then, and so it's a great book, and we've been studying along, not trying to go too fast, not trying to go too slow, but tonight we come to verse number 10, and we'll give just a little review for anybody that's not been to every study, but verse number 10, the Bible says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." And we'll get down to the, at least the beginning there of verse number 13. But just a little bit of review, just to refresh our memory tonight. The book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul. And I think most everybody probably remembers that. But it was written, if you go back to chapter 1, verse number 2, where it says, "Unto the churches of Galatia." And so Galatia was a place, but it was also a people. And these people were not all Jewish. Most of them were Gentiles of a Gaul descent. And later that would be the people that would inhabit Europe and the Celtic people in England. Maybe you've read about them. But they were not Jewish people. They were Gentile people. And the reason that he was writing the book of Galatians, see, Paul had went, he had preached to these people, they had gotten saved, he had established churches, but now there were those that were coming in, these legalizers or Judaizers, and what they were doing, they were adding to the gospel. They were coming along and they were Jews, and they were saying, "Well, you're saved by faith, but you've got to keep the law. You need to be circumcised. You need to keep the law of Moses." And Paul talks in chapter 1, verse number 6. He said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel." And so the Apostle Paul relates preaching a work salvation unto another gospel. And then he goes on down in verse number 8 and says, "Which is not," or verse number 7, "which is not another gospel." There are not two or three gospels. There's only one gospel, and it's by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel, and so there's not many gospels, but there are many gospels that are being preached, and many of them are false. If you add to faith, you are producing something that is not the original gospel. It's another gospel. It is a false gospel. So these men had come along. They had attacked the Apostle Paul. His apostleship was in question. And of course, if they can cast doubt on the Apostle Paul, they can cast doubt on what he's been teaching. And what they were doing, they were saying that, you know, he was not an apostle because he was not with the original apostles and things like that. And so they attacked the Apostle Paul. They were also saying that salvation was by faith plus works. And so the first two chapters are personal, and Paul is defending his apostleship. And we've already gone over that. Chapters 3 and 4 are doctrinal. We're in the middle of that. And chapters 5 and 6 are very good as well. Well, it all is, but they are very practical. Now, what we saw in chapter number 3 so far is that the Galatians had received at the beginning, everything they had received at the beginning was all by faith. It was not by works. And Paul reminds them of that. If you look at chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And so he's making the case there that what they had received at the beginning, was that by the works of the law? No, they hadn't received it by the works of the law, because Paul didn't go down there preaching that they needed to keep the law. But they had received the Spirit of God by faith. And so he goes on down, and here's what we looked at last week. We looked at the example of Abraham. And Abraham was not a Jew. Abraham was a heathen. Abraham's ancestors were heathens. We saw that in Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 2, that they served other gods, but Abraham was saved. How was Abraham saved? He was saved by faith. He was saved because he believed God, just the same way that we're saved. Look at verse 6 and 7. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Abraham was saved by faith. Abraham believed God. We pointed this out last week. Abraham was before the law. He was 400 and some years before the law. Therefore, he could not have been saved by keeping the law. But he was saved, or he was justified, by believing in God. Now, let's go down. And we're going to see here in verse number 9. This is where we left off last week. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. And so Abraham is called the father of faith. And we're his children because we have believed in faith just like, or had faith just like he had faith. But he goes on down and continues the case about this thing of works and law. Verse number 10 is where we're starting tonight. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, when you're studying the New Testament, and you'll find it in the Old as well, but when the Bible is quoting the Bible, and that's what we have here, we find this phrase, for it is written. And you probably, if you've got a study Bible, you probably have a note out to the side. It is written. And so he's quoting from the Old Testament. And what he's quoting from is Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse number 26. And so Paul uses the Bible to defend the doctrines of the Bible. That's a pretty good pattern to follow after. Doesn't matter what Preacher Wynn says, it matters what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter what you say. You can go on the job and you can argue with somebody all day long, but it doesn't matter what you say. And it doesn't matter what they say. What matters is what the Bible says. And so, good principle, we need to follow that principle. Here's what the Bible says. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying if you're going to make the case to keep the law for righteousness' sake, what does the law have to say about that? So he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse number 26, which says the same thing. It says over there, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say amen. So it said the same thing in the book of Deuteronomy chapter number 27. Now, I went back over there today and I was reading and looking at the context of that verse. And that's another very important thing when we're studying the Bible, the context. That just simply means go back, read the chapter before, the chapter after, and you know, who was talking and what were they talking about and who was being spoken to. All those things are important. And so God is speaking to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and Deuteronomy chapter number 28. And to summarize it real quickly tonight, if you go back and read it, here's what you'll find out. In Deuteronomy chapter number 27, he's talking about keeping the law. And he's telling the children of Israel, if you keep the law, I'll bless you. But in them say that next chapter, or the chapter before, he says, if you break the law, I'll curse you. And so there's a blessing in keeping the law, and there's a curse in breaking the law. Now, I want to point something out tonight before we go on. The law itself was not a curse. That's not what this is saying when it says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth." He's not saying that the law is a curse. The law was a blessing to the nation of Israel. The law, when they received the law, was the highest morals, the highest ethical standard, the highest laws that any people had ever received. It set Israel up and above all the other nations that lived around them. They had a superior law, a superior lawgiver. It was a blessing to them. It was a blessing to their society. Keeping the law brings a national blessing. The Bible said in Psalms 33 and verse number 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." If a nation sets up the law of God as the standard for the nation, that nation will be blessed. That's not saying that everybody in the whole nation keeps the law. And we could also say tonight, there is no such thing as a Christian nation. But Christians are salt and light. And where you have more Christians, where you have more power, gospel power, you have a better nation. You have a better society. Because that salt and that light infiltrates that nation. And so the law itself was not a curse. The law itself was a blessing. And it's a blessing to keep the law and uphold the law as a nation. For example, would it harm anybody or hurt anybody to hang up the Ten Commandments down at the schoolhouse and remind the children and the teachers and the principal and everybody that walked by, this is a high standard? Would that harm anybody? You know, not to kill, not to steal, not to lie, not to covet, not to commit adultery, not to take God's name in vain. That's not going to hurt anybody. That's not going to hurt the children at all. It wouldn't hurt anything for it to be hanging down at the courthouse. And used to in our nation, you would find the Ten Commandments at the courthouse, in the halls of Congress, in the schools, in the churches, in the homes. Our nation held that standard. It's a blessing to our nation. And the more we see it cast to the side, what is happening? The worse off we are. The law is a blessing. The law carries a national blessing with it. And so the law itself is not a curse. The law is a blessing. But can anybody individually keep the law? No. We, if we're honest, we know that. So the law is a blessing. The law would be a blessing for any one or any nation that would hold it up as a standard to live by. But the curse is not in the law. The curse is in the breaking of the law. If you break the law, there's a curse. Now, that's what it says in verse number 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Why? For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you don't do the whole law, you're under the curse of the law. You broke the law. And the law, which ought to be our friend, becomes the one that condemns us. Because we've broken the law. And we've all broken the law. In fact, it would be worth underlining in verse number 10 or highlighting that little "to do them." That's where the curse. If you don't continue, if you don't do the law, there's a curse in the law. Nobody can keep the law. All down through time, before the law, Adam, Eve, all their descendants, they all broke the law before God gave the law. They broke God's law. They broke natural laws. They sinned against God. We've all sinned against God. No one can live a absolute perfect life and break and not break the law of God, not sin. Because if you could live and not break the law, you'd live and never sin. But we know we all sin. It teaches the same thing in the Old Testament. In the book of Ezekiel 18, I think it is, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You know why we all die? Because we all sin. Because Adam sinned and their ancestors passed on that sin nature. Psalms chapter 14, Psalms chapter number 53. Both of those Psalms are quoted in the book of Romans chapter number 3. And we use Romans chapter 3 and chapter 5 quite often. But part of what is quoted is in Romans 3 and 10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody lives and is totally righteous in and of their own fleshly effort. We don't live above sin. We cannot live above breaking the law of God. We've all done that. Verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Everybody sins. You know, a lot of people think, well, preachers don't sin, or maybe I'm talking about people that have no, maybe they've never thought about it, or maybe they just got a wrong idea in their eyes. But you know, they think, maybe the Pope doesn't sin. The Pope sins. Preachers sin. Followers of Islam sin. Buddhists sin. Christians sin. Everybody sins. Grandma sinned. You're a little growing up, you might think, boy, not my grandma, but you get a little older, you'll find out, you know, I think she did sin. Not perfect. My grandpa was a preacher, but he was not perfect. He sinned. And so we've all sinned. I sin, you sin. People have the wrong idea. They think, well, if you try your best, surely that's good enough. Now, in our human way of thinking, a lot of times we might say, well, you know, I'm going to do better. We get on the do better plan. Anybody on the do better plan? You know, it might be you just said at the new year you're going to do something. I'm going to do better. A lot of people are on the do better plan. Well, that might be all right if you're talking about exercising or what you eat or helping out here or doing something there, but as far as getting to heaven, you're not going to get to heaven on the do better plan. We're not going to get to heaven by turning over a new leaf. Here's what the Bible said in James chapter 2, verse 10. You ought to know this verse and know where it is. It says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." If you could say, I've kept the whole law of God. And you know, there were some people in Jesus' day that made that claim. Even Peter in Acts chapter 9 or 10, I believe it is, he said, all these things. You know, when the Lord let down the different animals before him, he said, I've never, as a Jew, I've never partaken of anything like that. And the Lord told him to arise and eat. But if you could say, like the rich young ruler, all these things have I kept from my youth. If you break one, you've broken it all. We don't go to heaven on the 90% plan. We don't go to heaven on the my good outweighs my bad plan. If you were traveling along somewhere and you fell off the edge of a cliff and somebody threw you a 10-foot rope. You've got the very end of it. That's signifying the Ten Commandments. They threw you a rope down. And they begin to pull you back up. If 1 foot of that rope broke, would the other 9 save you? No. It's broken. The same way with trying to get to heaven by keeping the law. If you break one point, you've broken it all. You're condemned. And so this is what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. If you offend in one thing, You've broken all of it. Some people say, well, what if you didn't know? Well, tell the policeman that. You say, the speed limit went down. I didn't know. That happened to me one time. But in fact, the first ticket I ever got. Policeman didn't care. I broke the law. If you break the law, you break the law. There's no do better. There's no try over. There's no I didn't know any better. If we've broken the law, we've broken the law. If we've broken the law, we're under the curse of the law. And the curse of the law is the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We're all going to die. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, I'm glad it doesn't end there. Paul is making a point that you can't be saved by keeping the law anyway. It's futile. You'll never do it. And the law was not designed to save anyway. Look at verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The point of the law, the perfection of the law, teaches us by evidence that we are not justified by the law. This word evident and evidently comes up more than once in the book of Galatians, and it's worth taking note of. Evident, evidently, is we know the word evidence. The evidence is there that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The evidence is against us. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Can you find one example in the Bible? No. No. Who do you find in the Bible that didn't sin and kept the law? Nobody. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses sure sinned. Abraham sinned. David sinned. They all sinned. None of them were justified. Moses gave the law, but he didn't keep the law, did he? You're not justified by keeping the law. The evidence is abundant all round about us. Who could we pick out in our society today and say, well, they're above the law? Now, a lot of them politicians think they're above the law, but who could we pick out and say they're living a perfect life? They're keeping the law of God? Nobody. The evidence is abundant that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The only way that anybody can be saved is by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, that is mentioned four times in the Bible, the first time in the Old Testament. How did they live? By faith, same as us. How was Abraham saved? By faith, same as us. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. The Old Testament saints were saved the same way. This verse that first appears in Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 is mentioned three times in the New Testament. It's mentioned in Romans chapter 1 in verse number 17 where it emphasizes the just. Who is the just? Well, if you read Romans chapter 1 verses 16 and 17, it'll tell you who the just is. The just is anybody, man, woman, Jew, Greek, who believes unto salvation. That's who the just is. Have you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation? You're the just. The just shall live. Shall live is emphasized in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 38. You find the same verse over there. The just shall live by faith. It leads right into chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter number 11, where we have all those examples of all those Old Testament saints that lived their life by faith. They live by faith. The just shall live. Then it's mentioned here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 11, by faith. Now, if the just shall live by faith, then we can never be justified by our own efforts because they're contradictory one to another. We're either saved by faith or we're saved by being good and keeping the law and doing all these things. But how would you ever know if you'd done enough? And if you messed up, how could you ever get right again? You couldn't. The just shall live by faith. Now, we go down to verse number 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Look what it says. The law is not of faith. The law does not say the man who believes in the law shall live. That's not a gospel message. Believe in the law? It's not. The law is not of faith. The law says the man that doeth. We want to get to heaven by keeping the law? Try. But you're going to fail. It's not possible to do that. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. You know, we broke the law before we ever knew there was a law. I know how human beings think. What if we had a child and, you know, we put him in a perfect environment and we never let him be surrounded or influenced by the world in any way whatsoever, and we raise them up to be a perfect little Christian? Do you think you could do that, or do you think they'd break the law before they even got old enough to know what the law was? Well, if they had brothers or sisters, they'd break the law. You know, they're fighting before they know what fighting is. They're selfish. They're angry before they even know they shouldn't be angry. All those things. We broke it before we even knew that we shouldn't break it. How are we going to keep it in order to be saved? You can't do it. That's what Paul is telling the Galatians. See, you say, why is he harping on and on and on? Because, like many, many people in our day and time, these Galatians had got in their minds that, yeah, this is part of being a Christian to go to heaven. I got to keep the law in some way. If you think you've got to keep the law to go to heaven, you have got a wrong idea of what the law is for. The law is not to go to heaven. The law is to point and show us that you can't go to heaven by keeping the law. So how are we ever going to go to heaven? We've got to have another way. There's got to be another option besides keeping the law, because we can't keep the law. Well, that's why Jesus came. The law is there. The law is perfect to point us to the fact that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be saved by His life, not anything we can do. And so, we go into verse number 13. It's a great verse. And it's a verse that many times is a memory verse. I probably memorized this 30-some years ago. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I'm not going to deal with every little thing in that verse, but how? How has Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law? Well, by His perfect life. I said, you read through the Bible, you'll not find anybody that kept the law perfectly except the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept the law perfectly. That's why the Bible says He's the perfect, He's the spotless Lamb of God. He made the perfect sacrifice. He gave the perfect sacrifice in Himself. He kept all the law. And He took all the curse. He kept every bit of it. He didn't suffer for anything He had ever done. He suffered because of everything we've ever done. He suffered for our sins. The Bible talks about the just for the unjust. He took our place. We deserve the curse, but He took the curse so He could redeem us from the curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He kept the law. He took our place so that we could be saved. Jesus came, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 17. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He fulfilled the perfect law of God. He never broke the law in one point. We couldn't even get that close. Well, I kept it all but in one thing. No, we've broken it like dropping a dish on a tile floor. We broke it and broke it and broke it. But He never broke it one time. Can you think about tonight? What if our message was, now, go out tonight and make sure you keep the law between now and Sunday. Would we be a depressed people or not? I mean, people are depressed enough as it is, but what if you had the weight of having to keep the law? I'm reading a little book, and I've read them several times about a veterinarian in England, and I've had them a long time and just read it just for enjoyment, but the guy was in the book. He wanted the veterinarian to come out and say that his cow got hit by lightning because the insurance would pay for it. But there's no storm and there's no evidence, and the guy that had the cow, he's just getting madder and madder and madder, but it said in the book that he was in the Methodist society, so his vocabulary was limited. He's getting mad, but he wanted to really, but he couldn't. What if you had to keep the law? What if that was our message? And then we come back Sunday and take a poll. How'd you do? Did you covet after anything? I mean, you can covet and then say, oh, I shouldn't covet that. But you've already done it. If our message was, I mean, if I had to stand up here Sunday after Sunday and encourage and tell people now, be good, keep the law, and you know, that'd be hard to do Sunday after Sunday, knowing we couldn't do it. No, we couldn't do it. But Jesus has already kept the law. He's already fulfilled it in every point. And he already paid the price for our sins. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He took the curse for our sake. If our message was, now you have to keep the law to go to heaven, we really would have no hope. But we have every hope tonight, because that's not what our message is. Our message is Jesus kept the law. Jesus fulfilled it in every point. Jesus made the perfect sacrifice, and he became a curse for us so that we could be saved by grace through faith. What do you got to do? You got to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Our message is not one of you got to go out and do. Got to do all this and do all that. Our message is it's already been done. Jesus has already done this. And all we've got to do is, just like Abraham, we must believe God. We must believe upon His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all of our heart and all of our soul. And when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Abraham, righteousness was put on his account. God will put righteousness on your account. He'll save you. He'll save you. It's by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great, great message that is. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And I'm going to go on over. I want you to connect that to verse number 26. Going down to chapter 3, verse number 26. Look what he says. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Are you interested in being the children of God? I am. I want to know about that. How do you become a child of God? By faith in Christ Jesus, the one that went to the cross, paid the price, took the curse upon him for our sakes. What a great, great blessing that is. So we have a great message to share with a lost and dying world, that and many are trying to keep the law, trying to get to heaven by doing this thing or that thing. We've got a great message. Jesus has already done it. And what do? We've got to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to become the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to stop right there tonight, but I do want to go ahead and point out verse number 13. It doesn't end with a period. It goes on into verse number 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's us. That's us. I don't think anybody here tonight is Jewish, unless you've been hiding it. But that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What a blessing that is. And over again, through faith, through faith. Through believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we close tonight. Have you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ? That is the most important thing in your heart and life. Is believing, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I appreciate your good attention tonight. And I'm going to close off right there. And I want you to really help us pray about the...